From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
2 years ago, in August of 2018, a guy named Patrick Bolin emailed me. He listens to Problem Solvers, and he wanted to tell me about a problem that he had solved, and it was this. Here is how he described it. Quote, how to recast a forgotten luxury good into something a new audience wants, end quote. What does that mean? Well, the short of it is that he had bought an old manufacturing company called Geochron, which makes this crazy kind of clock that, honestly, I had a hard time understanding. And then he took that company into the digital age. And it wasn't easy, but he said it was working. He had seen 7 straight months of growth. And maybe I'd want to do a podcast on that, he said. And I read it and I thought, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, sometimes a problem seems solved, but it really isn't solved. And 7 months of growth after transforming a company from, you know, an old manufacturing company into a digital company may sound good, but it also might not last. So I wrote him back and basically said that. I said, you're early in your journey and this whole forgotten luxury thing sounds a little too niche for me, but best of luck and keep me posted. And I'll be honest, I write that line a lot. When I reject people who are looking for coverage, I'll often say, keep me posted. And you know how many people keep me posted? Almost nobody. Nobody keeps me posted. It's actually one of the reasons I'm able to say it, is because if everyone kept me posted, boy, my inbox would be crazy. But you know who did keep me posted? Patrick. He emailed me again recently after 2 years. And I hate to brag, but I was right. Yeah.
2 years ago, you felt like you had cracked the case. But
oh,
you
I
had
did.
Not.
It was beginner's luck. I didn't know it, though.
But you know what? Now he really does have a problem-solving story to tell. Because those struggles he'd overcome 2 years ago, well, those were just the beginning.
My forehead is on the floor. I'm just laughing to myself in the middle of the office going, good Lord, it's over. It's over.
So, okay, here's the thing. Patrick bought an old company called Geochron, which was started in 1964. And this company made a very complex piece of machinery that I'll explain a little later. But the thing to know at the start is this. Not a lot of people know how to make this thing. It is mostly just a bunch of old-timer guys who worked at Geochron. So when Patrick bought Geochron, he was also buying the knowledge and expertise of this small group of mechanics. But when Patrick tried to modernize the company, well, he ended up with a small group of angry mechanics who didn't like the changes he was making. And then his changes didn't really work out as expected, which made them even more distrustful. And it got so bad that, well,
they locked me out of the building.
Patrick's employees locked him out. The boss, the owner of the company, he was locked out of the building. But you know what? Patrick is winning now. He is inside the building. Well, pandemic notwithstanding, he's inside the building and he can get in whenever he wants. And he's modernized this company and produced a whole new product and rethought the staff. And on top of that, the changes he made over the past 2 years actually prepared this old company very well for the pandemic. When it came, he was ready. His company is not only stable, but things are really looking up. So what a difference 2 years makes. And that is why it was definitely time to tell his story. It is the story we're telling on this episode of Problem Solvers, all coming up after the break. The work you do, it matters, no matter where you do it. And boy, don't we know that work these days is happening wherever it can. That is why WebEx provides simple and reliable video communication tools that allow you and your team to connect and collaborate securely. That way, you can take care of business wherever you are. And that word reliable is important, by the way, especially if you're talking about sensitive business. You cannot afford to have some joker hacker show up in your video conference. You can't afford for it to be even a little insecure. That is why heads of state, governments, schools, hospitals, medical providers, and the most trusted brands all use WebEx. It is the choice for secure video conferencing and collaboration. Oh, but also WebEx does host virtual happy hours and weddings too, because hey, hashtag life on WebEx. If you can imagine it, WebEx will build the bridge to get you there, no matter where you are. And now our next sponsor. Problem Solvers is brought to you by JustWorks. JustWorks is here to support the small business superheroes working hard to protect their companies and take care of their teams. With simple software and expert support for payroll, benefits, compliance, and HR, JustWorks takes some of the guesswork out of running a business in good times and bad. They know that small business leaders wear many hats, and they're here to help you do it all. With JustWorks, you get seamless tools for managing remote teams and navigating new legislation. This includes scheduling, tracking, and staying compliant with new leave requirements from day one. JustWorks' dedicated team of certified HR consultants can help you navigate the ins and outs of managing remote teams in these challenging times. And should you or your team ever have any questions about your benefits or payroll, you can just call JustWorks anytime. Really, anytime. 11 p.m. on a Sunday, round-the-clock support is standing by. JustWorks is here for those who do it all. Learn more at justworks.com/problem solvers. Again, that is justworks.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So before we understand how Patrick got locked out of a building, there are a few things we need to cover, and all of them are quite interesting. So first, who is Patrick? Because, spoiler alert, if you happen to live in Portland, Oregon, then his voice is going to sound familiar to you. And second, what is Geochron, this company that he bought that makes this confusing thing? So let's tackle those first, and then you can really appreciate the challenges ahead for him. First, Patrick. He started his career off as a musician and later went on to get his MBA, which is where he found a very different use for the microphone.
My thesis was hold time music and marketing. And it was a marketing company that just did voiceovers for phone systems. And so now in the Portland area, I'm mostly that guy that does all the voiceovers for phone systems. And then that company.
What does that mean? That means that if somebody calls somebody in Portland and is on hold, they hear your voice?
Thank you for calling Columbia Credit Union. We appreciate your call. We'll be right with you.
Amazing.
That's Patrick.
Okay.
That's me.
So that's what's been really paying Patrick's bills. It's a business he is still in. But then he also fell in love with Geochron. So, okay, what is Geochron? Geochron is the name of a company, and the product it makes is also called a Geochron. And originally, the Geochron product was this.
The sun rises and sets around the globe 24 hours a day, and there's only one machine that can tell you where in real time. It's a timepiece, a masterpiece, a moving work of art.
So dramatic! This is a promotional video from Geochron, and it's showing a map. Okay, so just picture it. It's like a rectangular map of the entire world. But this map has all sorts of mechanics to show you where it's light and where it's dark around the world, real time. Lightness and darkness literally moving across this map as it moves across the real world. You very well may have seen one of these. There's one in the Pentagon, the White House Situation Room, they're in airports, fancy homes, it's been in movies like Hunt for Red October and Clear and Present Danger and more. Patrick saw one of these many years ago and fell in love with it and really wanted one. But these things are super expensive, so he eventually bought a used one, which didn't work very well, and he tried to fix it himself, but that wasn't happening.
Totally rocket science. I couldn't fix it. So I realized that the company had moved a mile within my house. It had gone from San Francisco to within a mile of my house in Portland. So I threw the clock in the back of the car and I just drove out there and I said, hey, I need a front plate bracket something or other. And they're like, oh yeah, sure, come in. Totally fell in love, saw that they weren't profitable, came back a month later and sat down with the owners and oh, you're the guy from Portland, right? How's your clock? Oh, we love it. It's great. Hey, can I talk to you in your office for a second? And they said, sure. And so I sat down, I said, hey, I know you don't know me from anybody, but I love the clock. I get the Geochron. I could see that where the company's at. If you were ever interested in selling this company, I would like to be a part of that conversation. And she looked at the ceiling and I knew I had something on the hook right then. And I didn't know it, but that week they had decided to sell the company.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what timing.
It was like a convergence.
Actually, buying the company would be a little more complicated. Patrick didn't have the kind of money they were looking for, but the owners came to believe that he would be a good steward for the brand, and so the sale was made, and that was 6 years ago. And then it was Patrick's responsibility to boost sales for this company, which, well, he was right. It was struggling, and he would soon understand why.
I just took this huge mechanical clock to trade shows, and then people looked at it, and they said, is it digital? And I'm like, no, it's mechanical. It's fantastic. Don't you feel the charisma? And they were like, oh yeah, no, it looks really good. How much does it cost? $2,000 to $4,000. And they're like, oh, that's great. And then they would walk on. And I had many lonely trade shows because of that.
Over and over again, potential customers kept saying the same thing. They thought the clock was too expensive and they wished it was digital. And you know, this is pretty antithetical to the company, which is a legacy company. It makes a mechanical thing. It takes pride in this very complicated piece of machinery. And making a digital version just felt different, wrong somehow. But sales were slipping. And so Patrick quickly realized that if he did not make some kind of change, there would be no coming back.
I was me coming into the office on Friday and saying, who should I pay this week? We were dying. We were dying.
The solution, he decided, was to make this digital version that everyone was asking for. But how? He didn't have venture capital and he was not a programmer. So how is he going to make this? And then, of all things, he saw something on YouTube.
There was a dude on YouTube that came up into my feed and he took, I had a rough picture of like a Geochron, and then he put that into a small hobbyist computer for his grandmother because his grandmother couldn't afford a real Geochron. And then he posted on YouTube how he did this. And it was gross and it was kind of cruddy looking, but he had the right idea. I recognized that it was a Geochron. And so I found him. He was a graduate student in upstate New York. And so he had a faculty phone number and I just called it. And I said, hey, this is Patrick from Geochron. You're not in trouble. I just want to ask you, how did you do that? Can we talk about this? And so we worked together for about a year and he programmed one that would work in 4K off a small mini computer. And that was the first iteration of Geochron Digital.
Geochron Digital. So here's what that is. Instead of manufacturing a big, expensive mechanical thing, like a whole big crazy map and moving parts and the internal clock and all that, instead they would create what amounts to a tiny computer that plugs into any TV. So get a TV, you know, get the best high definition one you can find, attach Geochron Digital to it, and then your TV becomes a Geochron. It is a live version of that map with sunlight and darkness and all the times and time zones and stuff. And because it's digital, they can also layer on all sorts of other things to the map. Like, for example, weather, real-time weather across the entire world, live, constantly updated. It's pretty cool. So he made 100 of these and sold out instantly. And then Patrick made 500 more and sold out of those. It was a success. And that was 2 years ago. That is when Patrick emailed me to say that he had solved the problem of Geochron. But as we now know, he had not. So through the last 2 years.
Oh, geez. Well, Jason, it's you see these gray hairs right here?
Yeah, those are from the last 2 years.
That's it.
Patrick now wanted to really build out Geochron Digital, which meant that it was time to build a programming team. He got a couple people. They started building out the next generation of the digital product, which meant making big updates to the Geochron Digital software. And then that was sent out to all the existing Geochron Digital units, you know, the way that any software company sends out an update. But in this case, the software was built all wrong. And so it started to crash all the existing units, which meant that people who had bought these things and were happily using them were now upset because their Geochron Digitals no longer worked.
So we had to replace a great number of computers of Geochron Digitals that were out in the field, and it was a painful, painful time. And so we're now in the middle of 2019. At the same time, we were about ready to sell out of our existing inventory. And so I bought another load of computers, and this is this little ill-fated device right here. This is
you're holding like a black square disc looking thing. It looks a little like if I were to buy an external hard drive.
Yes, right. But actually, this is a small computer that would run Windows 10.
Mm.
Except that I bought 1,500 of these, and when they are delivered, we struggled to make them work. We struggled to load the program, and eventually we figured out that these didn't have a clock inside them. Every time we booted the computer, it would forget who it was. And then we realized the Wi-Fi chip was unsupported from a company that was no longer in business. And basically, we had bought 1,500 pieces of junk. So I've got, they're all behind that door.
What are you going to do with
them? Maybe Bitcoin mining. I don't have the heart to throw them out. I don't know. That's all they're not good for anything.
So now Patrick had no digital product to sell. It would take months to find a new manufacturer and fix this problem. And meanwhile, the company, you know, it could still make money manufacturing and repairing the mechanical version of Geochron, but as we know, that was a fading business. People wanted digital, and Geochron couldn't get it to them. So what is Patrick to do? Well, I mean, he had to go out and find a new manufacturer, somebody who could actually make these products well. And he did find somebody, but they were way more expensive than the crappy previous, much cheaper manufacturer, which meant that he'd have to spend a lot of money. So that's a lot of money out the door and no money coming in because now he's waiting for these things to get built. So zero digital revenue, which means that the only way to survive was to cut costs, which would be painful, especially at a company where people have worked for decades and who expect a certain kind of stability and sameness. Patrick was already testing them by introducing this new digital element to the company, and now the changes were really going to come.
When I first took over the company, we were running inside of 4,000 square feet, which left us a lot of room, but there was a lot of space that was wasted. And my shop manager didn't believe me because he's a big guy and he wants lots of space. And they were constantly arguing with me about it. I lost employees because they were mad that I bought the company. So we moved to another location that was now 3,000 square feet. And then, oh, I don't know how we're going to fit into that. We fit. But it cost $50,000 a year and the rent was going up. And so 2 months before the pandemic hit, I purchased a small commercial building way outside of town with money that I had sold one of my only rental house. I had sold it and then did a 1031 transfer to purchase the building. And it was 2,000 square feet. So it was one more haircut. And we didn't have any money. So we just got a big 26-foot U-Haul truck. And for a week, we moved our equipment into this tiny building. And we couldn't even fit the equipment in the building until we were supremely well-organized. And so everybody thought it was a disaster. I was just about ready to fall apart because I was doing a lot of the heavy lifting because I have some older employees as well as programming employees who just aren't really that into physical labor. And oh, it was a headache. So it was a long week, but we got in and then we started to move clocks again.
And then Patrick and his software guys would work from home so that they didn't take up space in this smaller area. But wait. Let's rewind back to the part where he said he'd lost employees because they were mad he'd bought the company. Looming in the background of this story that I've been telling you, which I have hinted at a bunch of times, is the problem of culture. This is an old company with long-standing employees, and that meant change was, well, unwelcome. And Patrick represented change. So I asked him, how are you managing that culture change?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. It really came to a head when they locked me out of the building.
I know. You were waiting for the story of how he got locked out. I gotcha.
I had said, you need to keep the front. I work from home, but I would go into the office every day there at Geochron, and I'd ask the lady, please unlock the front door. Because at the time, they weren't even locking the front door for customers to come in because we were just a machine shop. And so I'd ask her to unlock the front door, and then she wouldn't do it for me. And so eventually I got myself a key and I got myself in. But this was classic for the kinds of problems that I was running into. They had sort of an agreement with the previous owners who were very lovable and had frankly bailed out the company during the Great Recession with their own money. Geochron exists today because they were gracious to the company and they wanted the thing to survive. So when I came in and I'm not a machine guy, then they held their breath and I was, so how did I deal with the culture? I had an old boss that just said, Patrick, you're nothing if not persistent. And so I just kept smiling. I just kept on insisting it the way that it needed to be. And I was polite and I was kind. There were times where they would say super disparaging things about me where I didn't know anything. They would compare me to other business owners or vendors that they didn't like. And they would do that while I was standing there. And I would say, hey, you realize I'm standing here, right? But I just kept calm. I just continued to be persistent. Over time, attrition removed many of those employees. There's one left. And he and I are getting along now really well. Everybody else, we've got a great team together. It's been a work to get everybody together. But I find that the memory of that culture that I adopted, it took a long time to kill that off. And I'm not a yeller and a screamer. And so I didn't insist that things be one way or another. I was just persistent, was very logical. And eventually I just outlasted many of them.
All right. So you were persistent and a lot of them left is what you're telling me.
Retired. We had two retired and two of them left.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But you didn't clear house. You could have come in and fired everybody.
Well, here's the problem is that I wanted to keep the clock alive. I was in love with the clock, but at the same time, I didn't know how to build the clock. It's like asking you to solder together a laptop. What do you know about that?
Absolutely nothing.
I couldn't do that.
Oh, I see. So you're kind of beholden to these people. Because,
yeah, and they knew that.
Yeah, and they knew that. And that was the that was the power dynamic. So wait, so how did you ultimately replace? I mean, they left. Who's making the clock?
So we work hard on cross training.
Cross training means that everyone's trained on every part of the process. So that way he can hire more people to replace the ones that left, and no one person can hold the whole manufacturing process hostage.
The center of it is in my main shop technician. We call him the mechanical sensei. He's an old union guy that now works for Geochron, has been there the longest. And so he and I have a good relationship. The mechanical company is just as much his as it is mine. And it's taken a lot of conversations to come to that. I am beholden to him, and he is beholden to me as well.
So in other words, Patrick was persistent, patient, and ultimately understood that he just needed to win over one person. These old mechanics knew they had power, but it also wasn't their company. And once Patrick built a good relationship with his mechanical sensei, he could build a team and a culture for this next generation of the company. All of this cutting and culture changing was happening in the months leading up to the pandemic, which turned out to be a fortunate thing for Geochron. It meant the company was lean going into the crisis, and it focused very much on what it was spending and what money it stood to make later. When lockdown began, his team voted to stay home for a month, which meant no manufacturing was going to be done, and that meant Patrick had almost no costs. Meanwhile, requests for repairs started to pile up, which meant that when it was time for people to come back to work a month later, there was revenue-generating work to do. And remember, he had ordered his new expensive batch of Geochron digital computers before the pandemic, and when they arrived, he was in business.
We released our new product right when the pandemic hit, and we've sold over 1,000 of these. So I'm sold out as of last week, which is great.
They're selling for $449. We talked in early June, and at that time, his next shipment of digital product had just arrived. And I mean literally just arrived.
So I can hear right now, I hear my wife opening the garage door to move her car out so that when the truck comes, we'll have a place to put the Geochron digitals. and then we'll start processing them over the next week and then deliver them to a local shipping company because we don't have the space to ship out stuff from here.
Right. That's great. But then you're back in stock.
We're back in stock. Meat's back on the table.
So what's the lesson to all of this? Well, I think that there are many lessons. There's the need to innovate, even in a company that's rooted in the past, the importance of culture, and the power of being lean and focused on revenue and growth. But the biggest lesson, I think, goes back to how Patrick and I connected. 2 years ago, he thought he had figured it all out, and he obviously did not. And we will all experience that. We'll think we know the answer, but we should remember that we never really do have it. Problems come, problems go. The big question is, do we have the patience and persistence to get through them and to continue to have faith in our vision so that when we're locked out, sometimes quite literally locked out, we just keep getting back in? And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.